Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Republican presidential candidates took on the issue of abortion during last night's debate in Florida.
One of the final questions of the night on NBC, abortion, Nikki Haley.
I am unapologetically pro-life, not because the Republican Party tells me to be, but because my husband Michael was adopted and I had trouble having both of my children, so I'm surrounded by blessings.
Tim Scott.
I'm 100% pro-life.
Ron DeSantis.
The Democrats have taken a position they will not identify the point at which there should be any protection all the way up until birth. That is wrong, and we cannot stand for that.
Vivek Ramaswamy, who's from Ohio, where abortion was on the ballot Tuesday night.
If in the state of Ohio, we talked about access to contraception, adoption, and also here's the missing ingredient in this movement, sexual responsibility for men.
And Chris Christie.
This is an issue that should be decided in each state.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
Donald Trump last night spoke at a campaign rally about 10 miles away, wildly overstating the size of the crowd.
I'm standing in front of tens of thousands of people right now, and it's on television. That's a hell of a lot harder to do than a debate.
The venue only holds about 5,000 people. The Actors Union reached a tentative agreement to end their strike yesterday. Elaine Lowe is a reporter at the Hollywood trade publication, The Ankler.
With the holidays coming up, that's typically a dead zone for Hollywood. You know, the agencies shut down. It's hard to wrangle people, to schedule people for production. So typically outside of Thanksgiving and Christmas, we're looking at resuming production potentially in January.
There's been an American attack on Iranian military assets, says CBS's Weijia Zhang.
At the direction of President Biden, two F-15 fighter jets launched airstrikes in eastern Syria at that weapons facility that is used by Iran's Revolutionary Guard and proxy forces that are backed by Iran.
The U.S. says the strikes are in retaliation for recent attacks on bases housing American troops in Syria and Iraq. An arrest has been made in the murder of Samantha Wall, the president of a synagogue in Detroit. WWJ radio reporter Luke Sloan.
Investigators have not released the motive in the killing, but say there's no evidence to suggest that it was a hate crime. Detroit police says that even though a suspect is in custody, the investigation into Wall's murder has not been concluded.
Workers are still cleaning up a funeral home in Colorado where nearly 200 bodies were found improperly stored. Tremont County Coroner Randy Keller.
So a lot of people were curious as to how this impacted my staff, and I can say unequivocally that it was a very negative impact.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is your hometown radio refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden holds a slim lead over Donald Trump in the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Biden leads Trump 50% to 48% among registered voters. That's well within the survey's margin of error. But the Marquette poll also has Republicans Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley leading Biden in Wisconsin. 42% say they have a favorable view of Biden, only 37% for Trump. Members of the Nurses Union at UW Health plan to deliver 100 pages of safety violations to the state health department. Union members say most of the issues stem from understaffing. Officials with UW Health say that patient safety is not a bargaining chip for the union. Hospital officials say they are working collaboratively with the union to increase staffing. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers headed to Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers working out in pads, getting ready to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by linebacker T.J. Watt. Matt LaFleur on what to expect Sunday.
They pride themselves on physicality, and it shows up all over the tape. They've got a lot of guys that are big, strong, physical, and they made plays, you know, when it matters most.
NBA. Milwaukee squeaked out a win 120-118. The Bucks versus the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo driving down the court, scores, makes a face at a Pistons player ejected from the game. Giannis in disbelief. So was his teammate Damian Lillard.
I think it was a character building when you're down your best player in that type of moment where you know it's you get a technical foul and then you get another technical foul and it was their ball. You know, it's just when it rains, it pours. You know, we had techs, it was their ball, they had momentum, they was confident making shots. Even though we had a lead, the game was changing, and we know in this league leads go away quick.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies today with a high of 51. West winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, low is around 31. 42 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's The Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, over on the board. It is Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. Now 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommers, what day of the week is it?
Pump day!
That's exactly right. That's exactly the week it is. You start things off with a Geico Camel. You can't go wrong. A little overcast, a little drizzly here in Madison, not just politically, but the weather as well. But it sounds like, Mr. Zommers, we're going into a dry spell. And then, like, Thanksgiving, at least here in Wisconsin, the southern part of Wisconsin, like mid to upper 50s on the Thanksgiving holiday.
Climate change isn't real, guys.
No, but I will say this. It is real, and I wish we would do more to address it. But I will say this. It's nice to look at a Thanksgiving and not have to worry about, like, ice and snow traveling.
This is true. Yes, so, I agree. You know,
I'll take that part of the warm weather, at least for now. Lots going on. First and foremost, I hope that I'm sounding okay. I went to a coffee place here this morning, and I got my Badger mug filled with coffee. And I'm not going to name the place because I'm just not. But they brew their coffee way too hot. And I set it on my desk. And I was talking to Luke Mathers this morning. And I took a big gulp. And I let out a string of expletives that are not suitable for radio. And I thought, my God, this is just going to... I'm not going to be... Because my mouth is just like singed. I'm like, is my tongue going to work? But I guess it's worth. I'm drinking a lot of cold water right now.
That's good. Yeah.
And you know what? What got me ticked off was because the internet wasn't working. I didn't think about it. I gulped the coffee and
here we are.
First world.
The entirety of your mouth.
Yes, I did. So we will try to hang. The good news is we have a guest here at hour one. Our friend Pat Kreitlow, who normally joins us at this time each and every Wednesday. Is in an appointment. He's getting some work done. You know, he's a TV guy. I believe he's getting a little work done to make himself. No. He just had like an eye appointment or something. So, and believe me, Pat, I understand because I had one of these. It took me like 3 days to figure all this out. So those things happen. So Mr. Kreitlow may or may not join us this hour, but for sure next week. But the good news is I thought we'd just be you and I and our callers, which would have been fine. But we have joining us here at hour one, as per usual. I thought it was going to be hour two today, but Trygve Olsen, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who joins us each and every Wednesday, like myself, a former Republican, has worked for all kinds of both state and national and international folks, including Mitch McConnell and John McCain. Trygve, glad to have you at hour one. How the heck are you, my friend?
I'm good, Todd.
See, cheers. Cheers to you.
Thanks, Aaron. I was actually thinking that's not the worst thing that could have happened to you with the coffee cup.
Really?
No. What? Once in college, long ago, somebody I know had a cup of coffee, set it down on the desk, grabbed the cup, thinking they were grabbing their cup. They were in fact grabbing their chew spit cup.
Oh,
that's how they got to start their morning.
Oh, so, but that would cure you real fast, I would think. I don't know.
I think it woke them up in a hurry. Maybe more than the coffee. So.
I bet it did. Yeah,
burning your mouth is never fun.
You ever
unless
do that?
It's on really hot Steve's Pizza in River Falls.
And
I guess they have one in Platteville too.
Yeah, they do. So. As a Platteville alum, I used to go to Steve's.
Best pizza in the world. I'm a worldwide connoisseur of pizza, I can tell you that.
Really?
Everywhere I go. Yeah, my eating habits. I'm a simple guy from Wisconsin. Pretty much bratwurst, pizza. Gotta fix that.
What's your favorite pizza?
You get in your 50s, you have to fix that.
What's your favorite pizza place in the state of Wisconsin?
Steve's Pizza in River Falls, Wisconsin.
I figured. I just didn't know if you had any others.
For my 40th birthday, best pizza in the world. For my 40th birthday, my sister went and got three of them, put them on dry ice, and had them overnighted to me so that I could serve them at a birthday party out here.
Now that is love. That is love.
It is love.
Yeah.
I cannot go back home to River Falls without going to Steve's Pizza at least twice.
Well,
with a spotted cow.
Right? Great. Spotted Cow and a Little Steve's Pizza. I think there were a lot of people like us last night staying up with pizza or Spotted Cow, what have you. It was election night, not so much here in the state of Wisconsin, but across America in several key states, Trigvy. And what a night. The highlights or lowlights, depending upon which party you are rooting for. First of all, in Ohio, Ohioans in a very red state overwhelmingly passed women's right to an abortion in Ohio last night in a referendum ballot. Then in Kentucky, you had the Democratic governor getting reelected by large margins after his opponent was endorsed by Donald Trump. And perhaps the biggest loser of the night, I'll see what you think about this, but Governor Glenn Youngkin, Republican of Virginia, and we're gonna play the cut that he was all talking about here a couple of days ago in a minute. But he was, I'm calling this, Glenn Youngkin was Bob Barkered in the sense that he was politically spayed and neutered last night. I think last night. What do you make of him? Because he bragged that the Republicans were going to take both houses. They held the House seat or the Assembly seat, we would call it. And he thought he could pick up the Senate in Virginia. Turned out he lost both to the Dems. What's your big takeaways from last night?
So a few things, I think I'll talk about Kentucky because that's a state where I've actually run a winning campaign statewide. Mm-hmm. So I have a pretty good sense of Kentucky, a couple of them.
Did you work on McConnell's campaign or Rand Paul's or both?
Rand Paul, I got sent down to do Rand Paul's first campaign and then I worked with McConnell's outside group.
Okay.
Talk
to us about Kentucky, a state you know well.
So here's a couple of things. One, Steve Beshear has really focused on being the governor of Kentucky. He is a really talented politician, a retail politician. Fits the state pretty well. He's governed as a moderate. When you have, and this is true even in a state as red as Kentucky, when you have a traditional Democrat who is ensconced in the minds of voters in the center and center right, as a traditional Democrat running against somebody that they see as a MAGA conservative, the traditional Democrat will win almost every time. And you saw some of that in Virginia too. I think the Dobbs decision and what that has meant for the Republican Party, particularly since you have a substantial segment of the Republican Party that is pushing, you know, no abortions under any circumstances, at least a loud enough percentage of them that it's concerning people. What you're seeing is, for example, in Ohio, married women and married men with children voted in equal numbers for the right for abortion. And it's really what I call Dobbs dads, and I'm kind of one of them myself. And in fact, I have some knucklehead on Twitter who's all angry that I referred to myself as pro-life. But as I made the point on Twitter last night, Dobbs dads are a real thing. And there's this set of conservatives who, you know, they're like me. A lot of them are girl dads, men who became conservative because they don't want government telling people what to do. And they are really outraged, even though on most issues they're pretty conservative. They're really outraged at the idea that you have these theocrats that want to be telling their daughters what they can and can't do. And when I say I'm pro-life, this person is arguing with me, well, you're really pro-choice. It's really semantics, but I consider myself pro-life, and I'm sure that if I talked to them and I said, I oppose late-term abortions without, you know, a doctor and patient's consent. You know, I just, it's just the way that I feel, and I feel that way out of personal experience. But the reality is there is this group of conservatives who, based on traditional conservative principles, limiting government and keeping them out of people's bedrooms, that are rebelling against this.
I think a lot of people have forgotten that Republican Party used to stand for that. Like, you know, don't come in my bedroom. Don't tell me what to do. Personal responsibility, individuality. And now the party is just kind of flipped, you know, the other way. I want to play this cut before we go to break, Mr. Sommers. This is, let's go. I want the Christie one, if we could, please. We're going to pull this up. This is what Chris Christie, who incidentally will talk later about the debate tonight. He's going to be in the debate. Former governor of New Jersey, now running for president. This is what Chris Christie had to say when asked last night about the Kentucky governor's race.
So also tonight in a very red state, the state of Kentucky, the Democratic incumbent, he beat a rising star in your party, Daniel Cameron. Cameron was also notably endorsed by Trump. He was embraced by him and embraced Trump himself. Was that a mistake on his part?
Daniel Cameron was a rising star in the Republican Party until he decided to throw his lot in with Donald Trump. I mean, let's face it, Donald Trump is political and electoral poison down ballot. Down ballot, his endorsement has led to Republican defeats in the House, in the Senate, rather, and the House in 18. In 20, we lost the United States Senate and the White House. In 22, we underperformed miserably. And tonight, you're seeing us lose again. Daniel Cameron made a huge mistake by embracing Donald Trump and selling his soul to him. That's what he did. And the voters of Kentucky, very red state, as you noted, gave their verdict on politicians who sell their soul to Donald Trump.
Trevi Olson, what say you?
It sounds like Chris Christie has been reading my colleague Rick Wilson's book, Everything Trump Touches Dies. And simultaneously, maybe he's been reading Stuart Stevens. It was all a lie because, you know, the reality is, you know, Chris is right about that. He is speaking the truth. Daniel Cameron was a rising star. Daniel Cameron decided that he had to, and this is the prisoner's dilemma they all face, decided that he had to pander to Donald Trump to keep 25% of the 50% he needed happy, and in the process had 5% decide to leave the building on him because they viewed Steve Beshear as a traditional Democrat who was doing a good job of governing the state. The candidates for down ballot, the Secretary of State, the AG, they all won. Mm-hmm. But they didn't spend their time kissing Donald Trump's backside.
Appreciate you cleaning it up for radio. See,
I almost didn't. I was close. If it would have been a podcast, trust me, I'd have been going somewhere else.
We're going to move to Virginia, find out what's happening there. What does all this mean for Wisconsin voters going into 2024? And is Uncle Joe, is Dark Brandon the big winner from last night as well? All this and more with Trigby Olson. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Paddle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Trygve Olsen, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, with us as per usual on a Wednesday. Appreciate you being here, Trygve. Appreciate all of you listening along. If you want to call in, ask Trygve a question or make a comment, we welcome you. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it on your Apple or Android device. I want to just pause for a second here because we talked, I guess I made the comment earlier that you had said that Republicans used to stand for individuality and kind of staying out of our bedroom. And I said, yeah, that, and that all flipped and changed. And a texter from WAUK down in the Shaw and Waukesha Texans and says this, quote, "Republicans always were frauds. We know that," unquote. And I would say, well, you're half right. I mean, you mentioned your colleague, Stuart Stevens, who's been on this program a couple of times before. I've read his book twice. It Was All a Lie, How the Republican Party Became Donald Trump. And, Stuart makes the point that there was a change, you know, whether it was around the time of Nixon and Pat Buchanan and moving forward, that all this was a lie since then. But, you know, I wouldn't call Abraham Lincoln a fraud. I wouldn't call Dwight Eisenhower helping to lower the voting age to get more people participating in democracy a fraud. I wouldn't call the Republicans that helped Lyndon Johnson pass the Civil Rights Act a fraud. So I think it's just important to remember there was a time, seems like it was a very long time ago, but there was a time when the Republican Party was not a fraud. And closer to home, you know, I would say that Tommy Thompson, you know, was not a fraud. Whether you agreed with him or not, that's up for grabs. But to say he was a fraud, I think he is who he is. He was a genuine governor. But I get the texter's point that in more recent times, Trumpism, even to some point, some parts of W. Bush's presidency, some of those party leaders, to Stuart Stevens' point, which he was involved in, and others. And I was, and Trygve was. So I just wanted to clarify that. Trygve, do you think that's fair, that clarification?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting because I just got done writing something that's going to come out soon, actually, on Dobbs Dads and Red Non-Conservatives, sort of these voters. But I trace in that, you know, the conservative movement. And, you know, I posed the question. I know Stuart feels like it went off the rails long ago. I'm not sure if he was pressed on that he would necessarily say that, you know, George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush or some of those people that he worked for were frauds. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that that's the line he's taking. I do think, you know, you can ask yourself, where did this all go wrong? Was it, and it kind of accrued with time. You know, the Democrats had controlled Congress forever. Newt Gingrich came in, he took over. You know, there was optimism, then Newt kind of, you know, he's done more to destroy over time the American political system as much as anybody. Is it the rise of talk radio? Is it Fox News? Is it when Obama was elected and the response to that and ripping off the scab in Wisconsin? You know, I think, I don't know that it was really off the rails until you had Act 10. Right. Mm-hmm. Like then it was clear to everybody. These things just happen with time.
For me, I think I agree with Stuart, or at least parts of what Stuart wrote, is that you go back to the Nixon era, Pat Buchanan, and they had to make a choice of whether are we going to, you know, support women? Are we going to support minorities? Or are we going to throw or cast our lot with the white majority? And in order to appease them, do we have to create certain narratives and laws in order to control power rather than accepting more populist political positions?
And I'm not so sure that it was that as much as it was a willingness to overlook in the pursuit of winning. overlook stuff that people knew wasn't true, was flat out crazy. I mean, the Bush campaign in 2004 with a at the time a closeted gay man who's now open, Ken Mellman, running the campaign, pushed for gay marriage bans across the country because they thought it would jack turnout. They clearly knew it was wrong. It wasn't his position. It wasn't, but they did it anyway, and they no one said, you know, maybe winning isn't worth doing this. And I think part of Stewart's point is, you know, when you grew up in Republican politics, it was Al Davis, just win, baby. The ends justified any means. And eventually that got out of control. I mean, it's sort of, I use this analogy, it's a little bit like Star Wars, right? The rebels become the empire.
Right. That's pretty good. I like that. If you'd like to join Trigvy or I, we welcome you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Trigvy Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us each and every Wednesday for a discussion of political events, current news, and what's going on with the Packers. Maybe we'll get more to that. They got to win this week, Trigvy. Wasn't that fantastic?
You know, I'm going on a little road trip to Pittsburgh with my girls.
That's right. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's go to the phone.
Pack up the car and go.
Very good. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Ross at Middleton, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, Todd and Tracy. So I have a question, and kind of based upon like yesterday's elections.
Sure.
Where it seems as if the Dobbs' decision is really driving turnout, probably amongst Democrats, although Tracy kind of argued that even centrist sort of Republicans. And I'm trying to juxtapose understanding that turnout compared to President Biden's, like, it just seems like he's got these horrible numbers. The economy seems to be improving. There's inflation is down. I'm trying to think of some of the other sort of objects, and yet he's just polling so bad. And I'm not sure if there's a, you know, what the connection is between these two. I mean, when Biden runs, I mean, maybe we're all going to be voting sort of, you know, on the Dobbs decision. But I'm trying to maybe just trace, because of his background, can help me understand, like, what's going on with Biden's numbers and why they just aren't improving. Is it just his age?
Appreciate the call, Ross. Thanks so much. Tricky.
That's a great question, Ross. So a couple of things. One, if you look at the New York Times polls and you look at the results last night. So last night, younger voter turnout was actually down in most of these states, which should have helped Republicans typically. But you had the issue of reproductive rights on the ballot. And that, you know, you have these Dobbs stats. I think if you look at Biden's polling numbers, and I dug into the New York Times ones pretty deep. He has two problems. One problem is younger progressives, mostly who are not a much more diverse cross section. They're not entirely white. They're very sort of multi-ethnic. They are not backing Biden at the moment. And they're not turning out in the numbers that he had in 2020 and that he needs. They're much more like 2016. And progressives feel like Biden hasn't given them enough. And now you have a lot of them in some of these key states like Michigan being very pro-Palestinian. And so Biden has that sitting out there. They tend to be more isolationist in terms of foreign policy. They're not America first, but they're kind of isolationist. And then second, you have Dobbs dads who last night showed that when push comes to shove, they're showing up for Democrats, but they are very concerned about whether Joe Biden's up to the job.
Interesting take. I want to
might be too old.
I want to ask you more about that on the other side. Also ask a trivia. What do you think about having a weed on the ballot in Ohio along with abortion? How important is that? We'll also go to Virginia and more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy lit into his own party last night during a debate on NBC.
It was my home state of Ohio. I'm upset about this. Yesterday, that passed a constitutional amendment
that now effectively codifies a right to abortion all the way up to the time of birth without parental consent. Why? It's back to that Republican culture of losing.
The negotiating committee of the Actors Union says it's reached a tentative agreement to end the four-month-long strike. Elaine Lowe is a reporter for the Hollywood trade publication The Ankler.
I'm told by sources in the room that the mood is jubilant, that there are very tired tears. This was, of course, a unanimous vote. It was 17-0 in favor of this package.
The U.S. launched an airstrike in Syria on facilities linked to Iran. CBS's Weijia Zhang.
They were in response to attacks on U.S. troops in both Syria and Iraq. Over 40 in the last 3 weeks alone.
Dozens of American troops were injured in those attacks. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are advocating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunny skies today with a high of 51. West winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 31. 42 tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 34 minutes past the hour of high noon on this Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. Trigvy Olson from the Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project joins us each and every Wednesday to talk politics, current events, and what the heck is going on. Today's topic, at least the first one we're dealing with, is the election results from last night. Not so much here in Wisconsin, but around the country. In Ohio, they passed a referendum on codifying abortion rights for women in Ohio, overwhelmingly in a very red state. Also, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican governor of Virginia, who campaigned on trying to take over the legislature, lost both houses last night. And in Kentucky, the popular Democratic governor was reelected last night amongst just some of the things on the ballot. Before we went to break, Trigvi mentioned this. You talked about the abortion issue driving people to the polls in Ohio. Also on the ballot was a statewide referendum to legalize marijuana, and that also passed fairly easily. And the question was, do you think that having marijuana referendums or that issue, I guess, is that a driver for candidates running for office?
Yeah, I would say that doesn't. You know, putting it on the ballot, how many people are the people who care about that are probably going to show up in a candidate election anyway. So the idea that you just put it on the ballot. Now, that is a different question than, you know, is it a little ridiculous that Wisconsin doesn't have legalized pot when every state around it does, and the most prosperous dispensaries in those neighboring states are the ones right on the Wisconsin border? That's a different question.
But. Well, to me, it's a good driver. I mean, if you just take a poll, right? Most polls, and say should weed be legal, it usually is a winner, 50% plus one, usually in the 60s, right? And I think if you have a referendum, if it's a referendum question like it was in Ohio, then yeah, it's probably going to pass. But to say that, oh, this is something that candidates should make a cornerstone of their campaign because it will make them more likely to win against their opponent, I just don't see that. I mean, if Tim Michaels for governor of Wisconsin last time around, in all of his terrible takes, would have said, oh, but by the way, I'm for legalizing weed, I still think he would have lost.
He would have still lost, yes. Probably would have still lost. And here's I don't think that drives people the way the abortion issue does. Now, I actually think, and this is my take, you know, I'm good with legalized weed. And I always thought part of the reason these Dobbs dads, they became conservatives because they didn't want government telling them what to do. You know, in college, for me, that was the drinking age, and maybe to a lesser extent, the fact that the weed wasn't legal and they were throwing people in jail for it. I always thought that was pretty ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's the same principle to some degree, because the reality is, again, it's government telling people what they can and can't do. Now, as it relates to, you know, what the laws around it, people getting in a car and driving, they shouldn't be getting in a car after they've drank a 12-pack. At the Packer game and
or
driving,
a
and they shouldn't be getting in a car or a six pack. And they shouldn't be getting in the car. Well, it is Wisconsin, so maybe it will. But the same is true. Like, there has to be laws regulating it. And I will say, I was just out in Vegas, as you know, for the Packer game, and the listeners do. Honest to God, I'm walking around with my kids, and you know, it smelled like Guns N' Roses Motley Crue in 1989. And I'll tell you, that was a pretty fun time because they were passing the smokes down the aisle. But I don't really need my kids walking into the Caesar's Palace and having it smell like a Guns N' Roses concert.
Yeah, great point. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go across the pond to Jay in London. Appreciate you, Jay. What say you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, Jay. What's on your mind?
At least I'm not talking to the world today.
All right. Not talking. Hey. Go ahead.
Hey, do you guys think the elections are in spite of Biden or what?
To say that again, I didn't hear you. What?
I said the elections last night. Is it in spite of Biden or is it because of Biden?
That's a great question. And Trigvi, thanks for getting us back on track, Jay. I appreciate that, because we started talking about this before the last commercial break. Trigvi, finish up your thought on this. Great question. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you, London. Was the win, Jay's question is, it was the results in spite of Biden, or is it that as we say, people vote, polls don't? And despite maybe some discontent with the president, they're still going to vote more Democratic because of these issues like abortion, other things that really make a difference to people's lives.
Well, this is the question that really no one knows the answer to. We're a year out from the election. This is typically when incumbent presidents poll horribly. I mean, Obama was well behind Romney at this point in 2012. Right.
And Obama was underwater in 12.
Correct. Yeah. That said, there is a lot of concern about whether Joe Biden, across the electorate, even amongst his supporters, is up to the job. And those who, even more so, with those who fall along the Red Dawn and Dobbs conservatives. I get asked when I'm back home drinking with my buddies, all the time, like, is Biden up to the job? Like, or and sometimes they'll say, you know, he's so old compared to these other leaders. And that is something that's really hard for him to fix. Now, at the same time, though, if they're given the choice between, you got two choices, Donald Trump or Joe Biden, Trump coming back or Biden, most of them are going to vote for Biden. The fear for Biden is, I think, this. In an effort to reclaim the progressives, who it's not about age, it's that he hasn't been progressive enough, in an effort to claw them back, does he alienate these conservative voters who've been placing democracy over partisanship? Because if they think he's a socialist or a hardcore progressive, most of them will vote for a MAGA over a progressive.
And I think you nailed it. I think that is the biggest or the finest needle that President Biden has to thread. Because if you look at the economy, it's going great. Everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people said, oh my God, we're headed into recession under Joe Biden. Not happened. Unemployment, record lows. We've got more job creation in the last five presidents or more combined. Inflation coming down faster in America than any other democracy around the world. I mean, things are getting better, but I think you're right. I think politically, how do you thread this needle between making sure that you can bring enough independents and disaffected Republicans, not MAGA, but disaffected Republicans, while still not alienating and keeping your progressive base riled up and ready to go?
Yeah, and I would say to those on the left who are listening, who are skeptical of what I'm saying, go, if you can, and try and find some people that you know who voted for Tony Evers and Ron Johnson and ask them why they did that. Because those are the voters, assuming that all things are equal, are going to decide Wisconsin. Now, it is true in that New York Times poll, and this doesn't surprise me because it mirrors with some internal stuff that I've seen, that Wisconsin is really holding the line on Trump versus Biden. Mm-hmm. But it's those Evers Johnson voters, as well as do progressives actually get out and vote, that are really gonna decide where this goes.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to join Trigvi or I on this Wednesday, Trigvi Olson, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project. Again, 844-967-2789. You can text us on the Civic Media app as well. Let's go to the phones. Greg, listening here in Madison on WMDX. Greg, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, you were talking about why the Republican Party is turned the way they are. I would just say exactly what you guys were talking about. They were successful. Problem is there's very different when you're running in one direction and telling people what you're going to do. And then you get in office and you had that chance to be an extremist. You had that chance to push your policy down people's throats. And people don't like that. And I would say, the problem with the Republican Party was they got too successful. They got too heady. They got too much like Scott Walker, who thinks Act 10 was great. So he shoved it down the throat of the people and they gagged on it.
I think, though, can I ask you a question? I mean, it begs the question, why did Scott Walker think Act 10 was great?
Because he surrounds himself with people that are going to tell him, you're doing great. Same with Trump. In order to be ahead of a party, I don't care if this is Democrat or Republican, because this is what's going to happen if the Democrats get successful. Are they able to control their own reactions? Can they tell themselves, I'm not God, I don't have all the answers? And if they think they can just force what people want, you have to persuade. You have to tell people what you're going to do and be honest about it. The unfortunate thing in politics, that can kill you.
Greg, I love that this. Right. I love this call. And I love this point because I think you're spot on. I want to know what Trigvi thinks. But yeah, there was a time when Trigvi and I were coming up in the capital, the state capital here, where you had conservative Democrats of northern and central Wisconsin, you know, working with moderate Republicans that represented suburban areas of Wisconsin because they had to in order to get elected back home. But now they don't have to. And I agree that there is less focus on just mainstream ideas that most folks go for instead of kowtowing to the right or left. Trigvi?
Yeah, completely. I mean, Scott Walker, he's absolutely right. Scott Walker did it because then people were saying, oh, you're so great. And as we all know, Scott Walker was running for president when he was a sophomore in high school at Badger Boys State in Ripon. So
I hadn't heard
why,
that.
Of course he wanted to be, of course Scott wanted that. Always did. I think the other point, though, with this is, you know, Todd, like when we were coming up in politics, think about going to Lincoln Day dinners, or you'd be places with candidates and you'd have people come up and they would have heard some crazy on talk radio and they'd be saying, oh, I think Obama's a Muslim, or, you know, going back even further, you know, Al Gore is, you know, whatever.
Right.
And you just sit there and you kind of nod along because you knew that if you engaged them in a conversation, it just wasn't worth it to correct the record. And the Republican Party let the crazy fester and fester. And then they built infrastructures that were profitable. Outrage, you know, Fox really understood that extremism was a good business model for media. People would tune in to be outraged.
No, I think you're
the Democrats. It could happen to the Democrats. I will say it was a really good sign. You know, Rashida Tlaib has said some crazy stuff about Israel, toting certainly anti-Zionist, maybe anti-Semitic. And there were Democrats who voted to condemn her for doing that. And that is what the Republican Party never had the courage to do. And eventually Donald Trump came and ate the pieces.
Do you think it's, I mean, I get it. I think, yes, I certainly don't agree with a lot of things she said, but when you can't censure George Santos, but you censure her, I mean, does that add up?
It doesn't necessarily add up, but it adds up in the sense that it demonstrates the contrast between a party that is willing to stand up to extremism and non-democratic norms versus a party that is totally unwilling to even address it.
I want to continue on this election stuff. Maybe we'll come back to it next week. But for those of you who are listening, I tweeted out today, Jake Tapper on CNN has a great 7-minute piece up right now on Twitter where he walks through what's happening right now in the Israeli-Hamas war and demonstrates very clearly what Trigvi just said, that one side has been authentic in trying to bring about a negotiation here. The other is not. And Hillary Clinton has a great cut. Yes, that Hillary Clinton saying, no, a ceasefire is not the answer on this. And I think it's very well done. When Hillary Clinton is saying this, I feel like I'm on the right side of history. We're going to come back and talk more to Trigvi Olsen on the other side. More about what's happening in the elections from last night. Get into the GOP debate a little bit going on tonight. Also answer a couple of questions from the text line. We see you there. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on the Todd Lyles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
It's the final game of the regular season, and Carroll University football is traveling to St. Louis to take on Washington University this Saturday, November 11th. The Veterans Day matchup with the Pios visiting the Bears, a team holding 19 conference
children's titles and 45 All-Americans. Don and Johnny will have all the action live, pregame at 11:30, kickoff at noon. The final game of the regular season this Saturday on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app. You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. And we are talking, as we do on Wednesdays, with Trygve Olsen. He is the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We appreciate him being with us each and every week. Trygve, a couple of a speed round here. Our time always goes too fast. First of all, on the text line, to kind of wrap up these referendum issues, different people here have texted in with a different version of this. When does Wisconsin get a chance to vote on abortion and weed? Why don't we get to vote on this? Why doesn't this come to Horicon, Wisconsin, on the ballots? Explain to people quickly, Wisconsin ain't like that. We only get to go to referendum a constitutional amendment on two consecutive votes on the legislature. But because of a split government, this isn't going to happen anytime soon.
No, it isn't. I mean, that's just the reality.
That's the short answer. It ain't happening. No. No, but for those of you listening, so in order to go to a ballot it's not a referendum, but I guess it's a constitutional amendment. And in order to do that, that amendment has to be passed by a majority of two consecutive legislatures, both in the Senate and the Assembly. So it takes at least four years to go that way. Or one party has to control the whole kit and caboodle, the Senate, the Assembly, and the governorship. So without Democrats having either both houses and the governorship for one session or both houses for two sessions, neither one of those issues are going to go to a vote or be passed in Wisconsin. I want to go.
It's unlikely that's going to happen for a while.
Yeah,
unless other things get addressed.
Exactly. Want to play this cut?
I didn't mean to be curt with you.
No. You were just giving the short answer. But we're kind of political nerds. I know that we've gotten several texts, and so a lot of people are like, "Why can't this happen here?" And so I wanted to just clarify that. Let's play this cut because I just love the pompous tone from Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia, who is talking a couple of days real high and mighty about holding on to control of their house, their lower house, and then taking control of the state Senate. And here's what Glenn Youngkin said he wanted to do.
As we entered this cycle, I had pulled together leadership and said, I think we should progress a bill that protects life. And so we've done exactly that. And I just wanted to make sure people understand what we would deliver. And the candidates that are all running have all agreed this is the bill that they would progress. And so I just think it's really important that Virginians have a clear choice. And I'm a man of my word. And this is what I told people we would do.
So to get to the chase here, Trygve, because we're limited on time, Glenn Youngkin's basically talking about an abortion ban in Virginia. And this is a narrative that keeps coming up time and again as we look to 2024, that Republicans, that first of all, they say, let's leave it to the individual states. Well, now individual states are saying, yeah, we don't want a ban on abortion. We want it to be legal. And so now Republicans at a national level are talking about a national ban on abortion.
I mean, honestly, it will work out for them about as well as repealing Roe versus Wade did. Nationalizing the issue, it's a little bit of a hold my beer kind of moment, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, you know, Ron DeSantis saying, "Hey, Scott Walker, you ran the worst presidential campaign in history. Hold my beer. We'll show you how to do it even worse."
We're gonna get to Ron DeSantis in a minute. But if you have any doubt of where Republicans are going in 2024, if they get the presidency, let alone Congress, remember what Donald Trump said on MSNBC in a candidate forum just a couple of, about 4 years ago.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
Donald
but
Trump,
not for the man, because how many abortions did he pay for and then have him sign non
disclosure? Or Herschel Walker in Georgia?
Six or seven?
Yeah. That's what's coming, folks. Just be aware. As you go to the poll and you say, well, maybe one candidate doesn't, you know, to quote Chris Matthews, doesn't make my leg tingle. That's what's coming.
Well, or honestly, like all these progressives who are, you know, students, I hate to be that old man. I don't want to be like Derek Van Adler. Get off my lawn, kids. But seriously, the reality is, if you think that they're not going to be banning birth control next or pushing it in certain states, like see the forest for the trees. Ooh, I didn't get this and this and this, you know, that I wanted. I wanted more debt relief. Well, listen. There's a lot bigger things at stake here than debt relief. You're going to get Donald Trump back if you don't say, you know what, I didn't get all that I wanted, but Joe Biden gave me far more than I'm going to get from Donald Trump. You're going to get Donald Trump back, and then you're going to get all these other things.
Yeah.
And you'll have a real reason to be unsatisfied.
Republicans going on to the debate stage, down to five candidates, Lester Holt, Kristen Welker, and Hugh Hewitt, the moderators. On the stage tonight, Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy, Chris Christie, Ron DeSantis, and oh yeah, Tim Scott still this race. I mean, does this matter? Tim
Which
Scott.
Which one is he?
Senator Tim Scott. I mean, it's really just.
Oh yeah, the one from North Carolina.
Right. I mean, does it even matter? Does it even matter?
No. Actually, does it matter? Here's what's going to matter. Eventually, and I worked with him, so I'll call him. I know Chris Lazzavito, who's running the Trump campaign.
Yeah.
I ran into him at a social event. Chris and I.
You
Chris
saw him last weekend.
A long time. No.
A while back. A
few weeks back. A while back with some other type people. You know, it was a DC kind of thing.
Trigg, you also dropped the names. I was Trump's campaign manager a couple of weeks ago.
He and I actually went to the. He's a Steelers fan. We went to the Packers. The last time I saw the Packers,
people,
the Super Bowl. We went to the Super Bowl together. Packers beat Steelers.
People don't realize in the political world, especially at the level that Trigvy is, it's a business. And so it's really odd. But even though you don't agree with each other and you might hate each other's candidates, you still talk to each other. I know that sounds really weird.
Well, you
weird,
run into each other, right? Like, right. I mean, it just is the way it is.
Right, go ahead.
But
about 2 minutes left.
But
go ahead.
So I said to him, here's what's going to matter. Eventually, you're going to have caucuses in Iowa. That is going to happen. Somebody is going to place second in the Iowa caucuses, and then we're going to move to New Hampshire. When we move to New Hampshire, Donald Trump is going to have to, and Chris and I were going back and forth about this, but Donald Trump is going to have to get on a debate stage with whoever comes out, whether it's Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis, whichever one of those guys comes out of it. I think it will be one of those two. Donald Trump's going to have to get on a debate stage with
him. And what a loss.
And that will be the defining point of whether there is any vulnerability, which I don't think there'll be.
Did Lazzavia agree with you?
No, he says, you know,
no. All right, the debate's tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can watch it on NBC Broadcast Network. Trigvy Olsen, thank you so very much. We appreciate you, Senior Advisor at the Lincoln Project. Have a great week, my friend. Go Pack Go in Pittsburgh.
Yes, Go Pack Go.
All right, back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Finally, a deal in the actor strike.
We fight, we win! Yeah!
SAG-AFTRA members in Los Angeles celebrated after the union reached a tentative agreement with Hollywood studios and streamers to end the 118-day job action.
It's such a feeling of joy and of triumph over adversity and not quitting.
CBS's Chanel Call.
The union says the more than $1 billion three-year contract now includes AI protection and a new bonus paid by streaming services. It comes after days of negotiations on what the studios called their last, best, and final offer.
Things got nasty at last night's Republican presidential debate in Miami. Correspondent Matt Piper.
Vivek Ramaswamy decided to go after Nikki Haley during a question on the NBC debate about TikTok.
Well, I want to laugh at why Nikki Haley didn't answer your question, which is about looking at families in the eye. In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.